Buck Gray issued licenses for windmills in Wyoming, littering our land with Green New Deal eyesores. That's more AOC than GOP. China Chuck Gray. Crack open the fortune cookie, and it reads Rhino. Want an America first conservative in Congress? Reed Raisner has President Trump's back and yours. Beat China. Tear down the windmills. Fight for Trump's agenda. Reed Raisner, Wyoming tough, MAGA strong.
I'm Reed Raisner, candidate for Congress, and I approve this message.
Paid for by Reed Raisner for Wyoming.
The following message presented by First Federal Bank and Trust, Sheridan's only mutual bank. Visit eFirstFederal.bank.
Hello, Tom Hebert here at the Natural History Museum of Wyoming, right here in Sheridan. Have you seen the new dinosaurs on display? We reveal them at our gala, but have you seen them? Stop in and see the new Utah Raptor, the Mayasaura, the baby T-Rex, and all the other amazing dinosaur fossils we have on display. You can find us on the Sheridan College campus in the Mons Center. The Natural History Museum of Wyoming, see you soon.
Hi, this is Taylor, front of house manager at Frackleton's. From the moment you walk in, we want your meal to feel easy, welcoming, and unrushed. A great night out isn't just about what's on the plate. It's how you're greeted, how you're taken care of, and how everything flows. We pay attention to the details so you don't have to. Good food, good service, good timing, start to finish. Frackleton's, Main Street, downtown Sheridan. Oh, and book your table early on Frackleton's.com.
When it comes to imaging, not all technology is the same. At Sheridan Memorial Hospital, we use some of the most advanced imaging technology in the state, delivering sharper images and faster answers. From a state-of-the-art 3T MRI to advanced CT and X-ray, our technology helps your provider see more and act sooner. Walk in or schedule at Same Day Health and Imaging on Sugarland Drive, open 7 days a week, or visit the outpatient center next to the hospital. For more information, call 672-1000 or visit SheridanHospital.org.
This is Public Pulse, your information and conversation program, brought to you by First Federal Bank and Trust. You can voice your opinion by calling 672-KROE. That's 672-5763. Now, your host for Public Pulse, Floyd Whitey.
Tuesday, May 26, from the foot of the Bighorns in Wyoming's Emerald City, I'm Floyd Whiting, and this is Public Pulse. And this morning, we are joined by Science Kids Board Chair, Molly Kinsey. Good morning. Welcome back to the show.
I'm glad to be here.
Now, for listeners who may not know, what is Science Kids?
Well, Science Kids is a nonprofit, a little small nonprofit here in Sheridan, and we focus on summer classes for kids ages 6 to 14, actually. And we just, our mission is to get kids outdoors where great science learning happens. And in the end, inspire curiosity for the sciences and create, hopefully, new stewards for our planet in years to come.
How did it all get started?
Oh, back in, I think, 2008, 2009, Sarah Mentok started it all by herself. And it started out real small, and Sarah kind of just did it on her own. And then through the years, it's just expanded to much bigger. And helping kids or serving kids of a larger age group. And then it's just blown up since then every year.
When it comes to Science Kids, as it grew, were there individuals within the scientific community around here who raised their hand or stepped up and said, you know what, this is a fantastic idea. I want to be a part of it.
They did, yeah. And one of them is Julie Reeder, who is the executive director, who I was just saying is in Belize right now teaching a class in tropical biology.
Still teaching.
Yep, absolutely. And there have. And the classes are all taught by professionals in their field. So we've had, like, one of the things coming up in July or August is a bat walk, and Mason Lee from the University of Wyoming's biodiversity department comes up because she's a firm believer in what we're doing, and college professors here in Sheridan. So some of them stepped up because they thought it was great, and some of them stepped up because we knew they were great educators and asked them to be a part of it.
Yeah.
So all of our classes are taught by professionals in the field.
And I'll tell you what, I've been around a lot of individuals within a scientific community, thanks to kind of my second dive into college. And if they're offered something like this, they usually jump at the chance. Teach kids about science?
Exactly.
Absolutely.
Exactly.
And I got bit by the bug while I was in my plants and fungi class. I really enjoyed walking around with my nieces and nephews and my daughter and teaching them, hey, this is lichen. This is something totally different than anything else. You know, it's intriguing. It's fascinating. And once the kids kind of hear these things, now it's not just something on a tree. It's a very unique life form.
Right. Exactly. And not only that, but I'm sure you found that the kids increased your own excitement about it as well.
Absolutely.
Yeah.
Once you see, I guess about five and six, I think were really the ages, that light behind the eyes when, wow, you're really paying attention. You really want to know about this. Then you get excited. Yeah. You're ready to go. And I know I'm getting a little off script here, but how have you seen that light in kids' eyes?
Oh, wow. Yeah. two or three years ago, we took a group of junior high kids, sixth and seventh graders, or seventh and eighth, anyway, junior high kids, partnered with Wyoming Public Radio. And we took them to Kemmer, to the fossil digs. And that was when I really saw a change in the kids. And there were some kids there that were, you know, shy and reserved and things, but their science teachers had recommended that they go on this. And through that 3-day course, these two young men suddenly they realized that there was something out there that interested them.
Yeah.
Literally changed their trajectory in school. Yeah.
That is incredible.
And on the bus home, we were saying, you know, well, you know, what did you like about this? And, you know, what could we have changed? Just kind of a survey. And those two said, I had no idea that people made a living doing these things. And they said, I love this. I want to do this when I grow up. Yeah.
That's incredible.
Yeah.
You get a little one excited about science. All you got to do is one word, dinosaurs.
Yeah, exactly.
They are on board.
And kids just naturally enjoy science.
Yeah.
They do. It's exploratory. It's hands-on. It's
that curiosity that's back there. And to know that there's a field you can get into where it's never truly satiated, you know?
Right.
You're never actually done. There's one thing that I absolutely love about science. The more we discover, the more questions there are.
Yep.
It doesn't end. Now, we've talked about why you believe the hands-on is so important. But seeing those kids, those junior high kids out there watching that happen, do you think that that's got a lot to do with the draw into science? Getting your hands in the dirt, digging around for mud, digging around in the mud for bugs.
And I think it's just that exploratory. I mean, they see one thing and then that leads them to another thing, which leads them to another thing. And you know, oftentimes, even, you know, as an educator that I used to be, you know, you think you're going to go in one direction, but when you get those kids outside and they start noticing things, and suddenly it's just never ending, where finally you just have to say, time's up.
Yeah. Speaking of questions, right? The why is this going on? Why are we out here?
Yeah. Yeah.
Why did this bone turn into a rock?
Yeah.
And it's amazing.
And which is why I think our registration fills so quickly, which is, you know, a good thing and a frustrating thing, because, you know, we have to limit the number of kids we do. But, you know, once the kids go to Science Kids, they come back to Science Kids.
If you get returning students.
Yeah. And in fact, we have one class that Emily Emond is teaching. She does Bug Out, which is for 8 to 9-year-olds. And so when those kids would age out, they'd be bombed. And so her past students were saying, you know, well, can you have an older mud bugs and fish? And so this year we do. And so she created a class specifically for those kids who wanted to continue on, but they'd aged out of that age bracket of our classes.
That's fascinating because I'm sure she, you know, kind of advanced the lessons a bit where, hey, in previous years we covered this, we're going to go even farther. Yeah. And to have that returning, you know, fandom.
It is a fandom. It is. Yeah.
You know,
yeah.
And the fascination with the natural world around them. And here we are in where we live.
Right.
Where all you got to do is walk out the back door and you have a world of science right there. We are so lucky. And when we say lucky, we always kind of think about like adventure and going out and really enjoying the outdoors. But we're lucky science wise.
Oh, yeah. And there's so many landowners that are so generous with their.
I love hearing that.
With their land. Yeah. And they love to see the kids come and look around.
Just have fun.
Yeah.
Just having fun.
We're really thankful for that. We've got a lot of good landowners.
I'm sure it's expanded over the years. What kind of science subjects can these kids really experience by becoming members of Science Kids?
Oh, great question.
It's pretty wide now, isn't it?
Oh, yeah. I mean, we have physics class where they learn about, you know, physics and movement. And then in the end, the kids pull a bus across the parking lot. You know, things.
Oh, wow.
And we have, last year we had a class on environmental science. And Rob Milne at the college, the kids went in there and they were using the equipment that the college kids use in their explorations and stuff. I, as an adult, was like, ooh, Carol, Carol. And Rob's like, eh, let him go. And then we have like the solar science that's coming up. That's a new one, which, by the way, there are still spots available for 12 to 14 year olds with, and that's in a partnership with someone here in town. But so there's, you know, bugs and that sort of classes. There's physics classes. There's a photography class, which is Nature in Focus.
Wow.
That Janae Neeson does with us, another professional in her field. And the kids actually use expensive, nice Canon cameras and they learn how to photograph nature.
That's amazing.
And so they have to learn about the nature that they're photographing. Yeah. And Janae just is amazing with that. And so something like that, or there's a nature journaling class. So parts of science that we don't necessarily think of when we think of science, but we've got it covered.
I like the idea of the nature journaling because another thing about science, once you really get into it, is documentation of everything, recording of information. And I guess you can kind of say that's the boring part, but at the same time, I know there's a group out there who's like, no, that's the part that I like the most.
Right.
Being able to record this information and preserve it and present it forward. And I mean, there is a group of kids out there. Yeah. That's what I want to do.
And that's the, oh, and that's another part of science that we did. And when we're not offering it this year, but have in the past is the art of birding, and they learn about birds with Julie Reeder, who is a bird aficionado, and then some. And then they would go into the studio with Aaron Waddell, and they would learn how to draw the birds that they have just learned about.
Wow.
That's one of them. And so it's those are that artistic kid, too, because of like this nature journaling. They'll be, yes, writing about the things that they see and learn, but they'll also be illustrating it as well.
And to illustrate it properly, you need to understand the biology behind the bird.
Exactly.
That's amazing. Yeah. I've got a brother who's a tattoo artist, and one of the books that he always recommends to anyone is Grey's Anatomy.
Yeah.
He said that's where you begin.
Yeah, I would think.
Now, one more time, what are the age groups that summer camps serve?
So we have 6 to 8 year olds. And then we have 9 to 11 year olds, and then we have 12 to 14. And we started this 12 to 14 about 3 years ago, and in hopes of giving them something to do in the separate time. And there's fewer things I think in the community for 12 to 14 year olds. But we found that it's difficult to fill those classes. Those 12 to 14 year olds, you know, they have other ideas.
Yeah. A lot more, I would imagine, games, sports.
Yeah, there's a lot going on.
They're getting into their social world around that age.
Yeah. So we're looking for a few of you 12 to 14 year olds out there.
And I know they're out there.
And they are.
The kids in class who may be a little quiet, but yep. End up becoming the scientists of tomorrow.
Yep, exactly.
Tell me about the mobile campus and bus system.
So that you've probably seen our cute little science kids school bus driving around with our dragonflies on it. Yeah, so we have two actually, because we do have a class in Buffalo, and we usually have two buses going out each week for various classes, which has allowed us to expand the number that we have. And so we have our little 15-passenger buses, and they pick the kids up at the library, and we at 8 o'clock in the morning, and then we tootle off with them. And then we bring them back at 1 o'clock, and they go on with their day. And so our buses can go, we try to limit it to 30 miles radius of Sheridan. But actually right now we're in a new to us bus, because ours are getting a little feeble.
Getting some miles on them?
Getting a little miles on them, yeah. And so we'd like to be able to maybe take the kids up, you know, up farther up the mountain and things like that too. And we just aren't sure that our buses are able to do that. So
there's also a great principle that you guys kind of follow, which as an educator, I'm sure you can really appreciate. And that's the teacher to ratio of kids. Yeah. You guys like to keep it small.
Yep. Six to one.
6-to-1 ratio. Mm-hmm. Yeah. So oftentimes two educators heading out there.
Yeah. So they'll be usually the bus driver. We consider that part of the team, the bus driver, and then they'll be the instructor, and then they'll always be an assistant. So there'll be three at least.
What have you found that truly affects?
Oh, golly. Again, as a classroom educator, what I wouldn't have given to have three people in the classroom all the time. Because you can just, each student gets what they need. And so if you have and again, it speaks to that curiosity. So if you have a young person that's really interested in just digging deeper into that little river, and the other kids are going on, you can let that child do that for a little bit. And then just, of course, safety wise.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah, absolutely. But the curiosity, being able to kind of, I want to check one more rock.
Right.
You know?
Or if the first time a student's ever been on one of these things and they're not used to being with all these people and out in the outdoors, then we've got somebody there that can kind of take them under their wing. Yeah.
Well,
yeah.
We're going to talk more about Science Kids in just a moment. You're listening to Public Pulse on 930 KROE and 103.9 FM. Sheridan.
First Federal Bank and Trust invites you to the Rooted in Adventure Sweepstakes.
Now through July, every eligible purchase with your First Federal MasterCard debit card earns an entry.
You don't have a card? Open an account online to start participating.
The more you use your card, the more chances you earn.
You could win a trip for two to New York, LA, Miami, or Chicago, or prepaid MasterCards worth $1,000 or $500.
The Rooted in Adventure Sweepstakes on now at First Federal Bank and Trust. Go to efirstfederal.bank for full details.
Wyoming has a real choice for Congress. We can send another politician to Washington, or we can send Frank Chapman, a rancher, a businessman. Frank knows a thing or two about balancing a checkbook. Frank's no politician. He's a conservative fighter for people like us. Frank Chapman for Congress.
Frank Chapman lives Wyoming values. Hard work, straight talk, and Frank's never backed down from a fight. Chapman is a rancher, a father, not a politician. Frank Chapman is the conservative we need in Congress. That's why conservative groups like CPAC have endorsed Chapman.
I am blessed in that God put me in a place where I could succeed.
Frank Chapman is the fighter we need in Congress.
Frank Chapman, Wyoming rancher, American businessman. He'll seal the border, back our ICE agents, unleash American energy, defend your Constitution, and make America great again. Frank Chapman, conservative for Congress.
Paid for by Fighting for Wyoming. Fightingforwyoming.com, who is responsible for the content of this advertising, and it is not authorized by any candidate or candidate's committee.
The rodeo is part of who we are. It's our history, our identity. But boy, this is not your granddaddy's rodeo anymore. The YO is bigger, better, and bolder. Larger purses, tougher competition, and a whole lot of family fun. Come for the world champion Indian relay races, high stakes BRCA action, and a warm welcome unlike anywhere else in the world. Get your tickets at SheridanYORodeo.com.
Heads up, whether it's at work, at home, or play, take a few seconds to look up and locate any overhead power lines. When working outside, be sure to keep yourself and any tools or equipment you're using at least 10 feet away. Teach your children to fly kites or toys in areas away from overhead power lines, and do not attempt to remove anything that has become tangled with a line. Always assume an overhead power line is energized and dangerous. A safety message brought to you by Montana Dakota Utilities, in the community to serve.
Hey, Sarah, what's going on at Sheridan Honda these days?
Great things. Spring has sprung, and we're more excited than ever to find new ways to wow our customers.
What do you mean?
We want to be known as the local dealership that goes above and beyond for the people who do business with us. Our team is constantly looking for ways to show our customers we care. From now until the end of June, random service customers will receive a complimentary interior detail on their car or truck.
Wow!
Now you're getting it. Come see us at Sheridan Honda and Power Sports. We service all makes and models all day, every day. No appointment needed. Give us a chance to make your day.
Good morning and welcome back to Public Pulse. I'm your host, Floyd Whiting, and we're sitting with Science Kids board chair, Molly Kinsey. Now, Science Kids has partnered with Sheridan Community Land Trust for more than a decade. Molly looked it up this morning, 11 years. Molly, the big thing is kind of unplugged.
Yeah.
Great partnership.
Yeah.
One thing that I really appreciate about SCLT, Chris Verba, one of my favorite people in the world, he sends me everything having to do with Unplugged, everything having to do with Science Kids. I try to get it up online as soon as I possibly can because people really love this.
Oh, yeah. Well, it's the adult, the parents' version of Science Kids, basically.
That's a great way to look at it.
And because we've had so many adults say, could you just do like a big kids class or something?
Yeah. Exactly.
Yeah. Like this journaling one. I want to take the nature journaling one, but it's a chance for families to get out with their kids too. And oftentimes they're science kids, but a lot of them aren't. It's just, again, like we spoke earlier about that curiosity, and it's such fun to see the adults get out there because they end up being just like the kids.
Yeah.
Like we have mud bugs and fish coming up, which we do with the Land Trust, all the unplugs we do. And thankfully they have that lovely nature area out there that they've just opened up to the public and we get to use that. And, the kids will be going down in the river to get the little microbes and things and sort out the little flies in their ice cube trays. And the parents will start by, standing with them and like, oh, now be careful. And pretty soon you'll see the parent 4 feet from the kid looking over, turning over some other rock and things. So it's loads of fun to get the parents out there with these unplugged events.
Tell me about the upcoming bat walk.
Oh, my favorite. That's when I mentioned earlier, Mason Lee comes up from the biodiversity department at University of Wyoming and highly recommend everyone come to this. In fact, that we limit the number so that it can maintain its greatness. And we meet in South Park and then Mason at 8 o'clock at night, and Mason has a little machine that can detect the bats before we can see them. And so we can kind of hear the little screech go up. And so we know when the bats are coming and they'll fly over us. And the one year I did, I think we found 7 different varieties of bats in South Park.
That's incredible.
It was incredible. Yeah.
That's an amazing
And we just map. Walk along the path in South Park and the bats, they're everywhere. And I don't think, they're there all the time, obviously. But until somebody points that out to you, it was incredible.
You just don't see them.
No, you just, yeah. Yeah. And in fact, there'll be like 5 of them flying around above you, but you're just as we often say, look up.
Yeah.
And they're there. And it's funny because I'll go because I thought, oh, well, now I know the secret. I'm going to go to South Park at, from 8 to 10 o'clock. And I just don't see him like I see it when Mason's there.
He does something to get him out.
Yeah. That's incredible. I don't know. Yeah.
The idea that, you know, the Unplug sessions and the series itself really kind of pulls back the curtain.
Yeah.
On a world that exists around us.
Yep.
It makes us take pause.
Yep.
And look at that world, which I think all too often we don't do enough. My wife and I are now currently feeding a squirrel and probably going to make him quite large.
Domestic.
Yes, right? But I just got some squirrel feeders out there and watching him come up and take that food and run off. And we're just, again, more questions. Where is he taking it?
Yeah.
You know?
Yeah.
Where is his stash?
We're all just kids.
Exactly.
I mean, we are. It's just that we don't put ourselves in those kid environments very often.
Do we have the date and time that the bat walk will be taking place?
I don't know that. I think it's in August.
Well, that one's pretty fun. I would suggest anybody actually jump on that.
You can always go to our website. Science-kids.org.
Now, kids and families, again, will also be taking part in Mud, Bugs, and Fish. This is going on at the Big Goose Natural Area. When we look at community around these events, have you seen maybe two families that didn't know each other suddenly
friendship? And again,
there?
I think that's the kid connection too, because when you get kids together, they just naturally gravitate to each other. So suddenly
they make friends so easily.
Kids are the best. Yeah. And so, yeah. So it's fun to see. Families who maybe went to one and then they'll be at the next one. They'll be like, hey, I saw you last time. And they kind of become this unplugged event, groupies.
This little subgroup within the group.
Yeah.
Now, what has it been like sharing space with Sheridan Community Land Trust? Because you guys have moved out there.
Yeah, well, we were out there and we were at Bridges and we were sharing it with the Scott Foundation. And then with all of the construction and stuff going on out there, we needed to move eventually. And so the land trust came to us and just said, hey, we have, you know, two rooms out here. And so that's been great because we have so much in common with the land trust. And for instance, they had a memorial pollinator garden. And so Julie jumped on board and got into this bee partnership with Queen or Crown Bees. Anyway, and so now we have Mason bees out there, which you got to come out and see. They're so cool. And so we have a Mason bee box, and you can actually pull out the center of this bee house and see where the Mason bees have laid their little eggs, like little condominiums.
Oh, that's incredible.
It is the coolest. Anyway, and then we've got the right behind our office in the river, there are some swallows that have, they're the, not the, they come in pairs and then they burrow down in the riverbanks instead of up underneath the highways and things like that. Yeah.
Oh, incredible.
It's a northern something.
And so they got a whole little habitat.
And so they've got a whole little habitat and they just come in pairs. And so it's just two little swallows that have decided to make their home in the riverbank right behind our office.
That's
got to
be pretty amazing with going on at the Big Goose Natural Area, watching the life and maybe not return because I'm sure it was there, but certainly kind of flourish.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. And the Land Trust has done a marvelous job of stewardship out there. So that we are so lucky
it's
in this community.
It's kind of giving you a whole lab, haven't
you? Oh, absolutely. Absolutely.
We don't have to go far to see science.
No.
It's right here.
And then when you've got people who know where to look for it, like Science Kids does. And Julie just one day emailed. She goes, oh, my gosh, you got to come out here. I saw these swallows. They've got this nest in the riverbank, you know. Yeah.
It's incredible.
Yeah. So, and it's great. We have the really symbiotic relationship with them. So it's been great.
Now, are all the camps full?
They're not. The six to 8-year-olds, boom, always. And then the 9 to 11-year-olds, I think they're full now. But again, there's two 12 to 14-year classes, the nature journaling and the solar science that we haven't filled yet. But it's, and the solar science one, I should say, also is sponsored through a grant through MDU, too. So kudos to them.
Oh, yes, absolutely.
For for helping us become stewards as well.
Can you say the website one more time so if folks want to sign their kids up or learn more?
And always come on because we always have all of our events on there. So it's science-kids.org.
Molly, thank you so much for coming in this morning and speaking with me.
Glad to be here.
This is always so fun to talk about the science. I could go on forever and ever. It's amazing. Yeah. Thank you.
All right.
All right, when we return, we're going to speak with Civics 307 and YO Votes, Gail Simmons. You're listening to Public Pulse on 930 KROE and 103.9 FM Sheridan.
First Federal Bank and Trust is launching a community commitment match to support our local fire districts by donating $35,000.
Plus, a Wyoming Community Foundation donor advised fund is matching that amount, and now we're asking the community to help us match an additional $35,000. Sheridan County, let's help fund our local fire districts who protect us every day.
Scan the QR codes in any branch office, check our ad in this week's Country Bounty, or drop off a check at our full service location at 671 Illinois Street. First Federal Bank and Trust, member FDIC.
Government is not the solution to our problem. Government is the problem.
In America, we don't worship government. We worship God.
America's best days lie ahead.
We will make America greater than ever before.
Like Reagan, like Trump, Steve Freese is a strong conservative who believes in America. A businessman, not a career politician. Steve Freese can't be bought and won't back down. Steve spent decades in the trenches fighting for our conservative values, helping groups like Turning Point USA and Tea Party Patriots get off the ground, and fought for election integrity, staunchly pro-life, 100% pro-gun, secure borders, peace through strength, no tax hikes, period. A conservative like Reagan, a fighter like Trump. Vote conservative Republican Steve Freese for Congress. You'll be glad you did.
This is Steve Freese, and I approve this message.
Paid for by Freeze for Wyoming.
UCross Foundation invites you to celebrate the 5th annual UCross Founders Day, Saturday, May 30th from 11 to 2. Visitors will enjoy open studio tours from all 10 of the current artists in residence, house-made pizza for purchase, and the unveiling of the newest exhibition at the UCross Art Gallery, In Company. This family-friendly event is free and open to the public. RSVP today by visiting ucross.org. UCross Founders Day, Saturday, May 30th.
Hello, I'm Kurt Layer with Midas. You ever turn down the radio just to listen to your car? Was that a squeak or a grind or did something just fall off? Yep, probably time for Midas. Right now, save up to $80 on tires and get a free oil change when you buy four tires. That's real savings on something your car actually needs, whether it's brakes, suspension, warning lights, or even just routine maintenance. Midas has you covered. Stop by Midas on East Brundage Lane today before your car starts talking back. Midas Tire and Auto on East Brundage Lane in Sheridan.
This is Brad at Primerate Motors. If you're looking for a good, honest, pre-owned vehicle, stop by and see what we've got on the lot. Pickups, SUVs, and cars that are ready for Wyoming roads and Wyoming weather. No runaround, just solid vehicles at fair prices. Whether it's for work, ranch, or just getting around town, we'll help you find the right ride. Primerate Motors at 2305 Coffin Avenue in Sheridan, or visit us online at primeratemotors.com.
Good morning and welcome back to Public Pulse, proudly brought to you by our friends out there, First Federal Bank and Trust. I'm Floyd Whiting, and for our second part this morning, we are joined by Civics 307 and YO Vote. Are you the founder?
Yes.
Of both?
Of both.
That's fantastic, Gail. Gail Simmons, good morning. Welcome back to the show.
Thank you. Good morning to you.
How have you been?
I've been good.
You've been busy. Busy.
Oh man, I've been all over the place, especially this last week. So I really think that the way to get people participating, because this is all about civic education and participation. So I've been around. I was just telling you, I went to Cody, Lander, Pinedale, Jackson, Casper, and back to Lander. And I want to set up
a series of presentations along the I-80 corridor as well. Oh, wow. Because I think that the more people understand or look differently, I think is probably the important thing. Look differently about what it means to participate civically, the better there will be. And one of the things I find, I believe, is there's a disconnect that people have between the things that are important to them and the fact that there are people on a ballot who are making decisions about that.
Yeah.
So they're not making that connection, and therefore there's no reason for them to vote because they're not seeing that. So my goal is to help them make that connection so that they're saying, oh, wait a minute. Yeah, this is important to me.
Yeah.
It's important to me, to my family, to my community, because they're not getting that. If they did, they'd be voting.
And the critical thinking behind all of it.
Yes, absolutely. Absolutely. So my mom raised us with there's two things that you do as a child of Faye Simmons. You give blood and you vote. She also said that government is merely the way the community manages itself. And when you look at it that way, it's no longer them versus us, it's us. And it's either us participating or us leaving it to somebody else. Mm-hmm. And my point is that this is too important for us to leave to somebody else. I regularly tell folks, I don't care how you vote. I've got my own opinions. I don't care how you vote. I just want you to vote. So the mission of both of these organizations and Why Vote is an initiative of Civics 307, which is a 501c3 nonpartisan voter education, civic education. The mission is all eligible Wyoming citizens are informed voters in each election. So how do we make that easily available to people to find out what is informed? I love to tell folks, I was just saying to somebody else a minute ago, that if we think of voting as a form of a hiring process, in a republic, a democratically elected constitutional republic, we are hiring people to make decisions on our behalf. So all of us have been on one end or the other of a hiring process. We've either been the hiring manager or we've been the one who is asking to be hired. And if that's the case, then we can apply how a good hiring process works with how we actually vote and get civically engaged. So how does that start? First of all, as a hiring manager, I need to know what's the job I'm hiring for. Because if I don't know what the requirements are that I have for what the person I'm hiring does, then I'm going to be lost. I'm either going to disengage, not hire anybody, or I may hire somebody. It's going to be a crapshoot.
Yep.
So that's the first thing.
Truly understanding the job.
Exactly. What's the job? Then you go to the person who's asking to be hired. Do they know the job? Because if they don't know the job, put them aside.
Mm-hmm. Automatically.
Automatically. If they don't know the job, they're not serious. I don't know how many times I've heard somebody say, well, I'm going to get an office and I'm going to keep the taxes down. Well, that's nice, but that's not what that job does. So maybe you should be running for a different job. So what's the job? The second thing you ask from them is, unless they're an incumbent, they've never had this job before. How do they translate their experience, their knowledge, their capabilities to the needs of this job? You don't have to have had the job before. If you can clearly articulate to me how you're going to use that to actually do the job, and if you can't do that, you're not up for consideration.
You join the pile in the back.
You join the pile in the back. And third, and only third, at that point, do we actually get to why you're the best person for the job? Now it's, what are your policies? What are your concerns? What are your beliefs? That shows up after you've made it through the first wickets. Because I'm now looking at, for those that are left, that have shown they know the job, they can translate their experience. Now I want to know, why should I hire you? And it becomes so much easier to understand that way. It kind of takes it from an overwhelm and what are the issues and what are my issues, all those things. It takes it away from that and goes down to, it's really simple.
And I think that's fantastic, because when I speak with very intelligent individuals as to politics and voting, I've got a lot of friends and family who will say, well, tell me what you think of this person. They'll come to me because it's partly my job to research a lot of this stuff. It is a bit overwhelming. And one individual I'm thinking of, and I'm not going to say their name, but highly intelligent, but they're like, I don't have time to sit here and filter through all of this. And then on top of that, we watch individuals, well, someone else is filing now and someone else. I mean, we're kind of overwhelmed this year with the amount of candidates that are really jumping on board, which is a great thing.
I love that.
It's fantastic.
Yeah.
But boy, we got to do our homework.
Yeah. So the Why Vote in particular is specifically to address that idea of overwhelm. Years ago, when I was going door to door, I would ask people, what are the things they're most concerned with? And so often people would say, there's so much out there, I just can't deal with it. So my recommendation, and I'm going to do some training around this, is identify one or two things that are really important to you. Your values. The things that are impacting your life. You have somebody in your family who's struggling with mental health. Maybe that's it. Mm. You have an elderly parent who needs like senior citizens services. Maybe that's one. Or you've got a very young child, and so you're looking at early childhood education. Or you're a hunter or a fisherman, or you like to hike, so public lands. Don't try to figure it all out. Figure one or two things that are important to you. Find out a little bit of information about that. And better yet, you've got a circle of friends, you've got a circle of family. They're all going to have different issues.
Yeah.
So get together and talk about it. Because you may have some that overlap, but if you trust them as your friend and they have an issue that's important to them and they say, this is my issue and this is why, it's fine, just take it. You don't have to know everything. So in this training...
Let me just interject something real quick, Gail, because I think that's ingenious. Politics can and has separated many families.
Yes.
Values rarely do, because we all share a lot of the same values. So if we talk about, well, what values are you looking for in a candidate? Let's not talk about the candidates. Let's not even talk about the party. Let's talk about the values that we share and what we're really looking for as a family, as a town, as a city, as a community. I think that's an amazing way to approach that, as opposed to saying a party name or a candidate.
Yeah.
Let's talk about values.
And those values show up as, what's the question? Not what's the answer. It devolves into politics when you've got when you talk about the answer. But if you're talking about what's the question, what are the things that we really care about? Do we care about whether our children are being educated for the world that they're going to go into? Do we care about what the capabilities are when they leave school? Do they want to have a job here? If they do, can they find one? Hmm. If we care about the fiscal strength of our community, that means we have to have strong businesses, and those businesses need to have employees, and those employees need to have a place to live. So when we look at it from, where are our concerns? What are the questions we have? We can come together on the questions. Where we start splitting off is in the answers. But I always loved that Senator Mike Enzi talked about how if we can get people to concentrate on the 80% that we agree on, then we can deal with the 20% we don't. So among the other training that we give is, I want to give one about how do you manage the things that show up in your mailbox, the mailers, and how do you process that?
And I know they've already started coming.
Oh, they've already started coming. So you pull one out and you look at it and it makes you angry, understand that you're being manipulated. That angry is the point. Because if you're angry, you're not thinking. Human beings can't have their lizard brain engaged, which is the anger, and still use the prefrontal cortex. Mm-hmm. So they want you angry. So turn it over, see who sent it, and put that aside and keep track of that. Because what you really want to get to are any mailers that give you a feel for who that candidate is. Those are the ones that are going to be sent out by them. Do you believe all of it? No. But you, at least they're saying, this is what I have to do for you. So why vote? If you go to whyvote.vote, so it's WYVOTE.VOTE, it actually is there to provide assistance in you finding information. Once you've decided what your issues are, then and only then should you look. So you scroll down and you come to Sheridan County. You see the state of Wyoming and you click on Sheridan County. And what you can see currently is all of the offices from governor on down that will be on a ballot somewhere in the county. I refuse to deal with the things outside our corners. We can do something about Sheridan. Mm-hmm. We can do something. We can take action about Wyoming. We can't do anything about DC. So you'll see every single office that's there. You can actually click on it, find out information about that office.
So there's the first part. I can learn
exactly
the job that I'm trying to get an applicant for.
Exactly. So now, once the filing period is over, we will statewide, we will go through and we'll scrape all of the candidates. And if they've and look for if they've provided an email, and we will load that up. So now, probably by the end of next week, you'll be able to see what are the names of the people who have filed, and in parentheses we give what their party is. You can see who's actually filed for that office, and then we go out and at no cost to them, we invite them to complete a profile that is like a resume, because again, you're looking for a job. A picture of them, how to get a hold of them, what are their background, education, experience, and my own bias. What are they active in the community? And then two questions. Why are they running? And what do they hope to accomplish? So it's the same profile regardless of whether you're running for governor or precinct person. So now you have one place. If they return that, again, no cost to them, we upload it. And you now can link to that and use that to find out more about the candidates.
What is your participation percentage from the candidates themselves?
So it's been pretty low in the past. One of the reasons I've been going around the state is to get YVote, a grassroots group in each county that can do the same thing of reaching out to the candidates and saying, why haven't you completed this? If you are if you're way down on the ballot, you're running for city council or you're running for county assessor, you don't have money to run a big campaign.
Right.
So one of the things you can do is everybody can afford a business card and you can take that hyperlink from YVote and that can be your online presence. You can have people go there and find out more about you without your having to talk to each and every one of them individually. So it's been poor. We think it's going to be very good. And I had somebody who's very active who said, you know, if you've offered this to them and it's for free and they don't respond, that's a point of information for me. And I am, if they don't want me to know more about them, then I'm not interested in their candidacy.
Because I would think if I was going to run for any office at all or any seat, I think I would want people to understand as much as they could about myself.
Exactly.
So that they can make that decision. You know, there's going to be people who are on board. There's going to be people who aren't. And, I feel that the more information, the better.
Yeah. But it has to be digestible in a small amount because as your friend said,
it's overwhelming.
So we want to make it as easy as possible. So there was a study done on the 2024 general election nationwide, 90 million people who were eligible to vote did not vote. And it came down to three things that just was what I had already anecdotally found. One third don't care. They're unreachable.
They're not into politics. They'd rather not play.
They're, whatever their reason is, and it's not even that they're not, they just don't care. Another one third think their vote doesn't count. Those are reachable because that's incorrect. They're looking probably at the presidency. And the we've got people. There is a, there's an office, a legislative office out of Natrona and Converse County, where in the primary, the difference was 6 votes. There were almost 200 people who undervoted. In other words, they had a ballot and chose not to make a decision on that particular office. Yes, your vote counts. And it counts where it's most important to you, which is locally and regionally.
Now, and then, I'm running out of time with you,
yeah,
but I want people to visit these sites. Where do they need to go?
So civics307.com. And on there is an e-learning where I have 15 lessons up already for governor on down. So you have to register, but it doesn't cost you anything. You can learn 10-minute videos. The other one is Yvote, Yvote.vote. You can go on it, find out why you should be involved. It is a one-stop shop for participation, register and voting. Scroll down, you can see Sheridan County, and you can find information about what the offices are, who the candidates are, and what you need to do in order to vote.
Gail, I appreciate you for what you do with this. It's a fantastic resource for voters to get on there. Doesn't matter who you are, doesn't matter what party you're attached to. This is nonpartisan. Jump on there. You can learn more about your candidate. You can learn more about the job that that candidate is going for. An educated voter is a great voter. Gail, thank you so much for
coming in
this morning, my friend. All right. You've been listening to Public Pulse on 930 KROE and 103.9 FM. Sheridan.
First Federal Bank and Trust is launching our Community Commitment Match to support our local fire districts during this fire season.
First Federal is putting up an initial $35,000, and a Wyoming Community Foundation Donor Advised Fund is matching that $35,000. Now we're asking the community to match an additional $35,000.
Scan the QR codes in any branch office, check our ad in this week's Country Bounty, or drop off a check at our full-service location at 671 Illinois Street. First Federal Bank and Trust, member FDIC.
Many heating and cooling companies talk about big paydays, but here is what they don't say. With flat rate pay, if you're in training, you're not paid. Doing paperwork, not paid. Cleaning the shop, not paid. Warranty callbacks often aren't paid either. And during slow season, good luck. Some technicians end up making less than minimum wage when the hours aren't fair. At Lee Heating and Cooling, we refuse to operate that way. If you're a journeyman who believes in doing the job right, not just fast, Lee Heating and Cooling is hiring. Built on integrity, paid by the hour.
Listening to birds chirping, a creek babbling, children giggling, steak sizzling, or sharing a conversation with a loved one is pure joy. Hi, this is Elizabeth.
JT.
And Dr. Addison Dempsey with EBIA Hearing and Sound. May is Better Hearing and Speech Month. We invite you and your loved ones to take a proactive approach to your overall health and reconnect to the vibrant and beautiful world through better hearing.
Connection is a key to happiness. Enhance your joy, protect your mental acuity, and find ease in communication through better hearing. Our staff offers comprehensive hearing exams, tinnitus support, prescriptive hearing aids, and more.
Let's be healthy and happy. Celebrate Better Hearing and Speech Month with us. To learn more or to schedule your appointment, stop by EBIA Hearing and Sound, 1273 Coffeen Avenue, or give us a call. 674-8920. That's 674-8920.
A lot of things in Wyoming depend on the weather. Your financial future shouldn't. This is Frank Boley with Legacy Ridge Private Wealth in Sheridan. Our team provides disciplined financial guidance to help individuals, families, and businesses create a plan built for the long run. Don't leave your future to chance. Visit us at 45 North Main next to Frackleton's. Legacy Ridge Private Wealth. Grounded in values, built for generations. Securities and advisory services offered through LPL Financial, a registered investment advisor, member FINRA and SIPC.